name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, it's a great privilege to be here to speak about the Sacrament of Penance, which is also called the Sacrament of Confession or the Rite of Reconciliation. It really is the sacrament of God's love, God's forgiveness, God's mercy, and God's healing. It's a way in which we can be freed from our sins and experience the peace of mind and peace of heart and the great joy that comes from having our sins forgiven by Christ the Good Shepherd. You know, all the sacraments are encounters with Christ. And in the Sacrament of Penance, we experience the love and forgiveness and the mercy of our Lord. Penance is one of those seven sacraments that Christ himself established 2,000 years ago. He established the sacrament of baptism to take away original sin and make us children of God, but he knew that his people would not always remain faithful to their baptismal vows and promises, and so he had to come up with a way of forgiving sins that were committed after the time of baptism. See, baptism takes away all sin. It takes away original sin, and it takes away any personal sin. But we know that we can only be baptized once. This is what the sacrament of baptism does. It makes us children of God. It gives us spiritual birth. So our Lord had to devise a way in which he could take away sins committed after the time of baptism. And so he gave power to his apostles, to the disciples, to forgive sins in his name. And we call that the sacrament of confession or reconciliation. So it's important to remember, especially in teaching your kids, that Christ established all seven sacraments, and let them know what a sacrament is. It comes from the Latin word sacramentum, which means a holy thing. Sacramentum, a holy thing. And that there are seven special holy things that our Lord himself established while on earth. And these sacraments are channels of God's grace to us. Now, we should always see the connection between baptism and reconciliation. In baptism, the priest or deacon says, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." But what does the priest say in confession? "I absolve you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." See, we can only get baptized one time. And so when we commit sins after baptism, we need a way in which we can be freed from sins committed after our baptism. And so Jesus gives us this sacrament. And we receive the words of the priest called absolution, which means a washing. And so in confession, our sins are washed away. I remember the story of a 93-year-old lady in a nursing home that was baptized by a priest. And as the water was poured on this old lady's head, the nurse was so excited and says, "Oh, you're so lucky. You know, your soul is like a brand new baby. All your sins are forgiven. I wish I could be like you and have all my sins forgiven." And the priest turned to the nurse and said, "We know every time you go to confession, it's like being rebaptized without having to get wet." Isn't that great? That we can have our sins washed away without having to get wet every single time we go to confession. But the words of absolution wash away our sins just as the water of baptism washed away original sin and our own sins. So there's really a great blessing that we have in the sacrament of confession because, for example, this 93-year-old lady who was never baptized had all her sins washed away, but somebody that's also 90 years old that hadn't gone to confession in 70 years, let's say, since they were 20, when they make a good confession and they receive absolution, their sins are washed away as well. And their soul becomes like the soul of a newly baptized baby as well. So confession is a washing away of sin. It's a true spiritual cleansing. Now some people say, "Well, I really just prefer going directly to God." Have you ever heard that one? "Why do I need a priest? I want to confess directly to God," as if we're either confessing to the priest or to God. We should let the kids know we're confessing directly to God through the priest. Okay, so I'm talking directly to you with the help of the microphone. If I call you on the phone, I'm talking directly to you, but using the phone as the instrument. So let the kids know that the priest is just the instrument, the big telephone to talk to God. They're talking directly to God. And let them know that when they go to confession, they're speaking to Jesus. They're not really speaking to us. We're just the phone. We're just the instrument through which they speak to God, through which they speak to Jesus. So don't let anybody say, well, I prefer going directly to God and you Catholics go to a priest. Let them know, we go to God, but we go through the priest. And ask them, well, how were you baptized? Didn't you have to go to your minister to get baptized? Because, you know, nobody can baptize themselves. You can't take water and say, I baptize me in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It doesn't work. You have to be baptized by somebody else. So even our friends of other denominations will go to a minister or to their deacon or to their clergyman, and they receive baptism from them. So why can't we go to our priest and receive spiritual rebirth through confession, being born again every time we go to confession? So just as their minister acts as an instrument through which their sins are forgiven through their baptism, so our priest acts as an instrument through which our sins are forgiven through the sacrament of reconciliation. So we do go directly to God, but use the priest as our instrument. It's important also to quote a few passages from Scripture. I won't directly, you know, read all the whole text, but if you're taking notes, I'd like you to write down Mark chapter 2. See, Mark chapter 2 is a very important passage, because I guarantee it, if you're married to somebody of another faith, or if you happen to get into conversations with people at work, they're going to ask you, where is confession to a priest in the Bible? Okay, have you ever heard that one? They say, why do you Catholics do this? Where is it in the Bible? So Mark chapter 2, first of all, tells us a fact of when Jesus cured a paralytic of his paralysis and also forgave his sins. You might remember the story. Jesus was speaking in a house, and it was so crowded that the stretcher bearers could not get through. The four guys had their friend on a stretcher. They couldn't get through, and so they climbed up to the roof and began ripping off the ceiling, and then they lowered their friend through the ceiling. It says, Jesus saw their faith, and he turned to the paralyzed man and said, my son, your sins are forgiven. And you know what? The people objected. The scribes and Pharisees objected and said, who can forgive sins but God alone? They were right. See, nobody can forgive sins except for God alone. So Jesus then, who could read their hearts and read their souls, said, why do you harbor these thoughts? Which is easier to say, stand up and walk, or your sins are forgiven? And then Jesus says, to prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, I say to you, stand up and walk. And that young man was immediately cured of his paralysis. So Jesus proved that as God, Jesus being the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the Son of God, that he had the authority and the power to forgive sins. And he proved that by healing the body. And he said, basically, that because I'm proving that I can heal the body, also I'm showing you I can heal souls. So Jesus, in Mark chapter 2, shows that he has the authority to forgive sins because he is God. He is our Lord and God, as St. Thomas the Apostle said. So Jesus shows that he has the power to forgive sins, but then the question is, did Jesus pass on that power to his apostles? And the next verse I'd like you to write down is John chapter 20, verse 20. John 20:20. The easy way to remember this, if you want to see where confession is in the Bible, think of perfect vision. Perfect vision is 20:20, right? So think of John chapter 20, verse 20. See, it helps to have these little techniques for remembering, right? It does help a great deal. So John 20:20, it's the night of the resurrection. And at the resurrection, that night, Jesus appeared to the apostles and said to them, peace be with you. And then it says, Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you retain or hold bound, they are held bound. Now what's important about this passage is Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Well, how did the Father send Jesus? He sent Jesus with authority. So Jesus is now saying, as the Father sent me, so I'm now sending you with authority. And then Jesus says, whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you hold bound, they are held bound. And Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit upon them. See, the only other time in Scripture where God breathed into people is Adam and Eve, when he breathed life into our first parents. And so now he's breathing his Holy Spirit into the apostles to be able to forgive sins. And every Catholic priest, myself, Father Lee, Father Richardson, Father Pollard, has been ordained by a bishop who's been ordained by a previous bishop, who's been ordained by a previous bishop, all the way back to those 12 apostles who received the power from Christ himself. So this is where we believe that a priest can be God's instrument to forgive sins in the name of Christ. Notice the priest does not forgive sins in his own name. He says, I absolve you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. See, he's the instrument of God's forgiveness, not in his own name. He speaks in the name of Christ. Notice he says, I absolve you from your sins, first person, because it's Christ speaking through the priest. He doesn't say, well, I hope Jesus forgives you of your sins. He doesn't say that. That'd be third person. Or may Jesus forgive you. When a priest is ordained, he becomes another Christ. And so when the priest baptizes and says, I absolve you from your sins, or I baptize you, or I absolve you, or this is my body at the Mass, he doesn't say, this is the body of Christ. That'd be third person. He says, this is my body. It's Jesus speaking through the priest. And so it's Jesus forgiving in this sacrament. So he gave the power to the apostles and said, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you retain, they will be retained. Now, why do we have to confess our sins? Well, we have to confess our sins so the priest can know whether or not to absolve those sins or to not absolve those sins, to either bind or loose, to either absolve or retain. So we don't have the advantage that Jesus had. Jesus could read souls, and a person could come to him, and Jesus could read their heart, and Jesus would know if they're sorry. But we priests don't have that gift to read hearts and souls. And so that's why people have to actually speak their confession, because we can't read hearts and souls. And that's why confession developed, because Jesus gave the apostles this power to absolve sins, and people had to say their sins so that the priest could determine whether or not, at least from his perspective, that they were sorry for their sins and had a good purpose of amendment. So Jesus could read hearts, we can't. And so confessions of the sins is vital and necessary for us. Also, another passage you might want to write down, especially if you're talking to people of other faiths, is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, St. Paul says that God reconciled the world through Christ and now has given us, apostles, the ministry of reconciliation. And that's what the apostles are, ambassadors of reconciliation. And that's what we are as priests. And we can trace our ordination back to those apostles. And so when somebody comes to us for confession, we become a minister of reconciliation. So confession is an opportunity for healing, for forgiveness, and to have our sins washed away. The Bible says, though our sins be like scarlet, they will become white as snow. Though they be crimson red, they will become white as wool. And there's a neat story that occurred in the life of St. Margaret Mary. Remember, Jesus appeared to her in the year 1765 over in France. And St. Margaret Mary was receiving these visions from our Lord and was not sure if it was truly Jesus appearing, so she had to go to her spiritual director, St. Claude de la Colombière. And she said, Father, help me to determine whether or not it's Jesus appearing to me. And so St. Claude made an interesting point, he said, the next time Jesus appears to you, ask him, what is the last sin that I, Father Claude, confessed when I went to confession? Because if it's Jesus, he should know. Okay? And Margaret Mary faithfully went back, and the next time Jesus appeared, said, what sin did my spiritual director, Father Claude, last confess when he went to confession? You know what Jesus said? Tell him, I no longer remember his sins. Isn't that neat? I no longer remember his sins. And that's what confession is. It's when our sins can be forgiven, and Jesus no longer remembers our sins. So confession is a gift to the church. Now, when somebody gives a gift, we sort of have the obligation to open it, right? If your husband gave you, you know, a birthday gift or a Christmas gift, or if your wife went out and bought you a gift, but you never unwrapped it, that would be sending a message to them that you really didn't care that much about that gift. Well, isn't that how it is with many Catholics that don't go to confession? They're not unwrapping the gift that Jesus has given us. See, confession is a beautiful gift. It's a gift given by Jesus to the church, and we're called to unwrap it, and we're called to make use of this beautiful gift. Now, sometimes people also ask, well, can sins be forgiven in other ways? What about somebody that's not Catholic? Well, if somebody is not Catholic, if they don't have that beautiful gift of confession, then what you should encourage them to do is to make a good act of contrition, or make a perfect act of contrition, because that's how Jesus will forgive their sins. You see, the ordinary way for Catholics to have their sins absolved after baptism is through confession. But Jesus, in extraordinary circumstances, can work outside of that sacrament. For example, if somebody commits a serious sin, if they repent and they promise they're going to go to confession at the next possible opportunity, they're driving on Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock on Route 1 in front of Krispy Kreme Donuts, and a Big Mac truck comes, and the last thing they see before they pass from this life into next life is the word M-A-C-K, you know, and if they pass away, well, Jesus has forgiven them their sins because they repented, they made a good act of contrition, and they had the intention of going to confession. So you see how God can work even outside the actual sacrament to take away sins. It's the same for those that are not Catholic. Get them to say a good act of contrition every night or as often as they could, because if they don't have the sacrament, then the only way they can have their sins forgiven is by talking to God and asking for forgiveness and repenting of their sins and being truly sorry for their sins, not just because they fear the loss of heaven and the pains of hell, but what we call perfect contrition, which is saying, my God, I'm sorry for my sins because they offend you, because you're so good and so deserving of my love. So there are ways in which people can have their sins forgiven if they're not Catholic, and that is by repenting of their sins, being truly sorry. But what are the advantages for us as Catholics? Well, some of the advantages are, number one, we get to hear those words, I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. They are the most beautiful words on the face of the earth. I guarantee it. They are the most beautiful words that you could ever hear. We have the benefit, even if it's obviously it's a spiritual benefit, but it's also a psychological benefit, because we can actually hear Jesus forgiving us through the priest. So psychologically, the whole burden can be lifted. Unfortunately, those of other faiths, they have to go to their room and pray privately, and I'm sure that they would know God forgives them, but oftentimes it is nice to hear it, isn't it? It's nice to hear those words spoken to us as by a representative of God, by a priest. So we are blessed to have the guaranteed 100% certainty that our sins are forgiven when we hear those words in confession. Also, another benefit is we can get good advice from the priest. We can get good suggestions and recommendations on ways to grow closer to him. Third, we receive an increase in grace, which gives us strength to overcome weaknesses, to fight against temptation, and to improve our life. confession also strengthens our will. It strengthens our willpower. It also helps us to grow in the virtue of humility. Because it's a lot harder to line up on a Saturday and get in line and kneel down and confess our sins to a person than it would be to just go into our room and privately tell God we're sorry for our sins. It takes courage, it takes humility to go to confession. And that's good for us, isn't it? Humility is good for us because basically the root of all our sins is pride. Behind every sin lurks pride. So when we go to confession, we can grow in humility. Next, it can help us to make up for our sins because the priest can give us a penance to do. That could be the saying of a few prayers, the reading of a couple verses from Scripture, the doing of a good deed, the giving of alms to the poor. So we can help make up for that. If somebody stole $20, well, the priest would recommend that they give $20 to charity or to somehow get it back to that original person. So we can help to make up for our sins and do penance. Also, we can get good spiritual direction and counsel from the priest. Confession can help us grow in knowledge of self. We can see our strengths and weaknesses better. It can help us uproot bad habits and even small sins. See, mortal sins are the only ones that have to be confessed. But we should also confess venial sins as well, the smaller sins. Remember the story in my first parish, I was hearing confessions. I came out after I was done, and there's a little boy sitting in the first pew. He says, "Father, while people were going in and out to confession, the red light went on, the green light went on, the red light went on, the green light went on." He says, "What does that mean?" I says, "Well, when the red light was on, it meant somebody was in there. When the green light was on, it meant they came out and somebody else could go in." The boy says, "Oh, I thought it meant that if they committed a big mortal sin, the red light went on. And if they committed a venial sin, the green light went on." That's a true story. That's a classic. So confession can help us overcome even the small sins, the venial sins. In fact, there was also, you might have heard of Bishop O'Malley, who was the bishop of the Virgin Islands. When he was down there as the bishop, he's now up in Fall River, Massachusetts, he used to go visit all the tiny islands, and many of them didn't have priests. And so he was talking to one gentleman once, and he said, "How often do you go to confession?" And the man says, "Well, Father, not very often." The bishop says, "Why not?" Well, the fellow says, "Well, there's no priest on the island, and to go to confession, we have to rent one of these little tiny jet planes and fly over to another island." And he told the bishop, "You know, and to do that, to commit to confess a venial sin is very expensive, and to fly in those planes to confess a mortal sin is much too dangerous." And that's a true story as well. He told the bishop that. Also, confession not only reconciles us to God, it reconciles us to the church. Because in our relationship, we have the cross, which is the vertical bar representing our relationship with God, and the horizontal bar representing our relationship with others. So every sin not only offends God, but it hurts the body of Christ, the church. For example, we see this in gossip, or we see this in stealing or violence, how it hurts other people. And so not only does confession heal our relationship with God, it reconciles us with the church as well. So how do you make a good confession? There are five steps. If you take a look at the handout I gave you, there are five steps to making a good confession. The first one is, and that's called the sheet going around would say a guide to confession. On one side, it's an examination of conscience for adults. On the other side, it's an examination of conscience for children. So to make a good confession, first, this first step is to examine your conscience, which means pray to the Holy Spirit and maybe read over a listing of the Ten Commandments. That can help you to prepare to make a good confession, to examine your conscience. The second step is to be sincerely sorry for your sins, to be truly sorry for your sins. Again, these are things you can pass on to your kids. Third is actually to confess the sins. Fourth, to resolve to amend your life, which means you're going to make a serious effort to do better. If some people say, "Father, well, I don't know if I should go to confession because I know I'm going to sin again." Well, don't you take a shower even though you know you're going to get dirty again? don't you eat, even though you know you're going to get hungry again, right? So we go to confession, even though we don't want to sin again, but we know it is a possibility. We make our best intention to avoid sin, but we shouldn't give up going to confession just because we think, well, we might sin again in the future. And number five, we do penance. We do penance. Now, an analogy to use with the kids on why they should do their penance is that I use the analogy of taking a hammer and a nail and driving it into a piece of wood. Let's use that analogy as a sin, okay, the nail in the wood. Confession pulls a nail out of the wood, but what are you left with? You're left with the hole. So the penance that the priest gives helps to fill the hole. And that's why the kids should say their prayers and their penance soon after they go to confession, to help fill up that hole, to help make up for that. For example, if somebody breaks a neighbor's window, out of justice, out of restitution, they need to either maybe replace the window or maybe cut the grass for the person for a couple weeks, doing something to make up for that. In our justice system, we see the same thing. People have to make up for what they've done. So the penance is an opportunity for us to unite our own efforts and work to the work of Christ. Now, Jesus died on the cross for us. He redeemed us. He saved us. But what we want to do is show that we also want to participate in helping to make up for our sins. Now, the comparison would be Jesus is like the millionaire, and we're like the poor person that only has a few dollars. But if we put our dollars in with Jesus the millionaire, we share his interest. We become partners with Christ. If we don't put anything in, then we don't get to share in that. But if we can join our $2 or our 3 Hail Marys or our 5 Our Fathers to the work of Christ on the cross, we participate in that because we become partners with Christ. So it's important to do our penance. There's a cute story of a little girl who came out of the confessional and she was crying. And the teacher asked, well, honey, why are you crying? She says, well, the priest told me I had to say 3 Hail Marys. And the teacher says, well, what's so hard about that? The girl says, I only know one. There was an Irish fella who confessed, Father, forgive me, I blew up 2 miles of British railroad track. And the priest says, for your penance, go out and do the stations. So my Irish friends like that one. So the question then comes, as we wrap this up, is how often should we go to confession? If a person has not been to confession in a long time, let's say a few years, start by going 4 times a year, what I call the 4 seasons. Remember Frankie Valli and the 4 seasons? Go the 4 seasons. Go summer, winter, spring, and fall. Maybe go around the 4th of July, go around Halloween, go around Christmas, and go around Easter. If every Catholic went 4 times a year, the whole church would be renewed. But many Catholics will even go once a month, which is actually a very good amount of time, because that's how often we should balance our checkbook, right? Every month. Now, confession is balancing our spiritual checkbook. If we let it go 5 years, it's awfully hard to balance those receipts and checks and invoices. But if we go on a regular basis, perhaps once a month, it makes our life so much easier. So I call confession giving our soul a shower. Remember the article I just gave you called Soul Scrubbing? It's a great article. And in that article it says if you met somebody that hadn't taken a bath in about 10 years, where would you be? In the back of the room, okay? What if somebody had not given their soul a shower in the last 10 years? What does their soul look like to God? So it's important that we wash not only our cars, but our souls. Okay, some people take better care of their car than they do their soul. Some people wash their dog and their cat more than they do their soul. So we have to make sure we're not neglecting our own spiritual life. So when we go to confession, we say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. You know, it's funny, since I've been ordained 8 years, and on 3 occasions I had somebody come in and say, bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts. And I said, are you hungry? It's happened many times. Actually, one of the funniest ones was a little kid said, Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. I said the word damn 5 times, including right now. One little girl, every confession would say, bless me, Father, for I've sinned. This is my last confession. We're supposed to say, it's been such and such since my last confession. One once said, bless me, Father, for I've sinned. It's been 3 months since my last confection. I said, well, we call it candy here in America. So when a person goes to confession, they need to confess all their mortal sins, but not give details. That's important to remember. Don't give details when you come to confession. Just say the type of sin it was and the number of times it was committed, whether it be missing Mass on Sunday or a holy day or using God's name in vain. Just say the kind of sin it was and the approximate number of times, but don't give details. You might want to give a circumstance if it helps to reflect, you know, on the situation. Like if somebody stole from a bank, that'd be different than stealing from a church. Or if somebody robbed, you know, a millionaire, it'd be different than robbing a little old lady who didn't have any money. So it'd be important to mention some other factors like that. And then we listen to the advice of the priest, and then we say the act of contrition. And it's important to try to get your kids to memorize the act of contrition, okay? And make sure when they say the act of contrition, they don't say, oh my God, I am heartily sorry for my sins. I hear that all the time. Oh my God, it's heartily sorry for my sins. So let them know that we better be more than heartily sorry for our sins. And I've heard people say, I dread the loss of heaven and the plains of hell. I always picture these plains of hell, these airplanes of hell. And you know, sometimes people are reluctant to go to confession because they forgot the act of contrition. Well, in my confessional, I have it right there. So you can't forget it. It's right there in front of you. And if you're not sure about it, bring it with you. Bring it with you. And you can just read it. And then you receive the words of absolution. If some people say, well, Father, you convinced me that confession to a priest is in the Bible, that Jesus is the Son of God. He had the authority to forgive sins. And he passed that authority on to the apostles, who passed it down to every Catholic priest today. But I just don't feel I have any sins. I don't have any sins, Father. Well, we should turn to 1 John and see what St. John says. John says, if we claim we have no sins, we're calling God a liar. And so if we don't have any sins, it means we haven't examined our conscience well enough. So I encourage you to read over that list of the Ten Commandments, and then to help your kids to prepare well for this sacrament. Let them know it's something to look forward to, and it's something that if you have a good attitude about it, then your kids will have a good attitude about it. If you say something negative about it, then your kids might be apprehensive about it. But if you give the example of going to confession yourself, taking advantage of this, then your kids will also have a good positive attitude towards this beautiful sacrament of reconciliation, forgiveness, and God's mercy. Thank you. God bless you.